Worldwide Communion Sunday, I have chosen to read Paul's words concerning the Lord's Supper. Because Paul is actually probably more relatable in our circumstances than Jesus is. And I hope you will understand the way I mean this. Paul speaks at a time after Jesus has risen. Jesus is no longer physically present. He is spiritually present with them at all times, but he is no longer physically present. And we experience the same thing each and every week. And so we come to this time of message, and Paul says to the whole community of faith, to everyone, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat and drink eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and the blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread, drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. When we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the Lord. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you are hungry, eat at home before you come, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. About the other things, I will give instructions when I come." This is Paul's writing about the Lord's Supper. In the original Lord's Supper, Jesus has his followers who had been with him for quite a long time, and they all gather together and they eat and they drink. When Paul is talking, he's talking to the whole church. All of the different branches of the church, all the different, there are no denominations at this point, but all the different places that the church is meeting. In biblical times, they were not Roman Catholic, they were not Protestant, they were not Baptist, they were not disciples, they were not all of those different names that we have taken upon ourselves. They were simply followers of Jesus Christ who came together to eat and to drink and to think about what Jesus Christ had done for them in their lives. The people who came to this table were not people that had seen or met Jesus Christ. In most cases, they were people who had heard the good news, just as you have. And in the good news that we have here this morning, we have a reminder that we should self-examine ourselves before we come to the communion table. That doesn't mean that you have to ask yourself if you're worthy, because the truth is none of us are worthy to come to the Lord's table. But it does mean, is there anything within our souls, within our hearts, within our minds that is unreconciled, that we need to reconcile? Do we need to apologize to anyone? Do we need to go back and include someone that we have excluded? Do we need to look at ourselves and say, "I could do better"? Hopefully the answer to that is everyone saying yes. I want you to think about when you got ready for your worship service experience today. Did you, when you were getting ready this morning, think about the people that you don't like? Did you think about the last person that you had a disagreement with? Did you count the Sundays until Pat's going to be gone so that she doesn't preach at you like this? Thank you, dear. Did you count the Sundays until Christmas so you could get your presents? All of those are really not the way we're supposed to prepare to take communion. We need to prepare by looking within our hearts. What's broken? It's not that we have to fix it right that minute, but we need to acknowledge it's broken and then offer it to God. And ask God to heal it, restore it, reconcile it, forgive it, or whatever else we are in need of. God does not say that we have to become perfect before we come to the communion table. What God does say is that we need to be reconciled one with another before we come to the communion table. Are you okay?
Me?
Yeah. Did you prepare for worship service this morning by asking Pat to go faster? I love it. I love it. When we come to this communion table, it's not that we come sinless. It's that we come acknowledging, realizing, and offering to God our sins. If you think you're sinless, I have very bad news for you. Nobody in this room is sinless. But everybody in this room has the possibility of being reconciled one with another and reconciled with the Lord. If you cannot reconcile before you come to the table, then take the strength of Jesus Christ from the table and go be reconciled one with another. If you have family that you're not getting along with, reconcile. Now, I'm not telling you what that reconciliation looks like. It may look like sitting down at a table and saying, you know what, this doesn't work. We're going to have to do something else. Something's got to change. It may mean sitting down around a table and saying, I love you more than I love being angry with you. I love you more than I'm mad about this, that, or the other thing. I love you more than if you had just committed a big, huge, humongous sin. I love you more than the last time you lied to me. I love you more than the last time you hurt me. When we sit around the table, we are to be reconciled. We are to be one. And you all have had a wonderful history of working together when you really needed to work together, to come together and do things that people said you could not do. You have performed miracles in this community and miracles within this church. You have prayed together and prayed until you thought you were going to go blue in the face, but you prayed and people were healed. You have come together and learned and grown in spiritual ways. But still, you come many Sundays unreconciled. To others. This time, this year, when we come around the table of our Lord, I ask you to pray for reconciliation for everyone that you have ever been in a disagreement with, that you have ever wanted to hurt, that you have ever hurt. I ask you to pray for reconciliation for your own heart, that you may find the peace that passes all understanding. That you may be reconciled with the world, that you are going to care for it, that you are going to be prudent about your use of our natural resources, and that you will do your part to be reconciled one with the earth. God didn't bring Jesus here just for you privately. It's a huge difference between personal and private. Each of you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart personally. But the personal receiving of Christ means that you then work as a family. You join a family to work together for the world. Jesus is not your private Savior, not just for you. Jesus came for the whole world and for everyone who will walk through these doors in the years to come. No matter what their color, no matter what their economic standing, no matter who they love and who they don't love, no matter how many kids they have or don't have, that's not what reconciliation is about. Yeah. Reconciliation is about greeting them with love at the door and saying, welcome, you are Jesus Christ's children. And because you are, we will love you. Let us pray. Almighty God, this congregation is so good. They're so good about helping one another when they're in need. About helping the community when it's in need, when our children especially are in need. They're so good about helping when someone has passed on, when a life has been shattered. They are so wonderful, Lord. And you know, you see their work every day. I ask you, Lord, to help them reconcile one with another and one with you. May they truly realize what you want for their future. May they truly understand the strength of love that's involved in reconciliation, so that they may live in reconciliation and in your love and come around the table every week and be fed and strengthened in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is Seed Scattered and Sown. We are going to sing all of it. It's one of the communion hymns that I know is a favorite of several of us. So if you will, stand and sing. And if you will, begin to examine your own heart. See where you need more of Jesus. See where your heart is empty. See where your heart is being crowded out by ugly things. And fill it with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand and sing.